Yes, really good to see you, Rajiv. I like your jumper.
Yeah.
Need to get one of those myself, maybe one in orange.
My niece told me it's very in fashion right now, so I'm going with her judgment, but she's 13,
It's
so
like
I
the
don't
retro
know.
look, huh? And nice to see everyone on the call. We really appreciate all of you coming. I know some of you are joining from different time zones. I'm currently in Belgium. So I'm in a place called Radadeche, which is one of our castles and communities here in Belgium, a couple of hours from Brussels. And it's been an amazing week. We've just been sharing and talking about different spiritual subjects this week. I'm heading back to London tomorrow on the Eurostar, all being well. And yeah, just excited to be here with all of you. Last week was just a little bit of a warm-up. We did something on progressive disruption, and clearly all of you want to be disrupted because you've all returned this week. So we're going to be going a little more into depth and talking about Arjuna today and how Arjuna is not just a character, but there's an Arjuna within each one of us, and therefore the Bhagavad Gita becomes so relevant to all of us. So yeah, excited.
Yeah, thank you all for joining, and thank you, Keshav Swami, for being here. And yeah, we're gonna get underway. So we've closed the chat. So if you have any questions, you can send them in to me, and I'll be asking them. And yeah, keep sharing the love. And I think you can also share, if you like what you hear, you can share a symbol. So I think there is like a heart. There is a thumbs up. There's a clap, so we will see that as well. There we go. We've got one thumbs up, got hearts coming through. Yeah, maybe you can all share a heart as we're getting started. There's so many hearts we can get, maybe 400. So yeah, over to you, Keshav Swami.
Sure.
I'm very excited for today's session.
So thank you everyone for joining again. And I'm just going to share my screen here. I hope you can all hear me okay. If there are any technical difficulties, you can just flag it up to Rajiv or Adriel. They're our tech hosts today. And we'll begin as we did last week with the prayer of gratitude, which is really offering our real appreciation to the teachers who brought this knowledge and shared these wonderful insights with us. Because through their insights and through their endeavors to share this knowledge, we all have the opportunity to upgrade our vision and really see life from a deeper spiritual perspective. And so please join me in this prayer of gratitude. I know some of you have memorized it already. And if you haven't, please do consider doing so. Om Agyanatimirandhasya Gyananjanashalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Om Agyanatimirandhasya Gyananjanashalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Om Agyanatimirandhasya Gyananjanashalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I offer respect unto my spiritual teachers who have opened my darkened eyes, which were blinded by ignorance, with the torchlight of knowledge. Thank you, everyone. Today, we have a beautiful topic. We'll be discussing the inner Arjuna. We want you to take away from today the fact that Arjuna was not just a character 5,000 years ago who Krishna spoke to in a particular time, place, and circumstance. What we want to try to share with you today is that Arjuna is actually a character which sits deep within our own hearts. The life journey that Arjuna went through is the life journey that every soul will go through in this world. The obstacles, the challenges, the issues that Arjuna faced are probably the same pains and problems that all of us are going to experience. the confusion and the inquiries which were running deep within Arjun's heart are the same ones which will come to our minds. And most importantly, the transformation which Arjun went through after hearing the Bhagavad Gita is a transformation which each one of us can go through if we embody the openness and the spiritual sincerity that Arjun had. And so hopefully all of you will go away today with this in your heart and mind. But today, last week, I asked you a question. And this week, I'm also going to ask you a question which will set the tone for our discussion. Last week, I asked you the question to name me some of the disruptive brands which change the world we live in. And you all gave amazing answers. This week, the question I want you to answer on the chat as Raj opens it up is, can you tell me a hero or a heroine who you hold in high esteem in your life, someone you look up to, someone you in so many ways would like to emulate in terms of their spirit and their contribution? Can all of you start telling me some of the heroes and heroines that, yeah, it could be a film character, it could be a political figure, it could be a family member. Someone is saying, me, that wasn't a plant. Jay Shetty, yeah, he's a great hero for many and a good friend of mine. David Attenborough, thank you very much. We've got the Swamis, Dalai Lama, Amitabh Bachchan. It's good to get a Bollywood actor in there. Thank you so much. Achyuta Gopi, yeah, she's a great singer, and not just a great singer, a real thinker. And a really deep spiritualist. Yes, thank you so much. Oh, Mother Teresa, yes, such an amazing person. Narendra Modi, thank you. This is wonderful. Nice to see so many of your heroes. Nisha says, Tony Robbins, yeah, so much inspiration. A tennis player, we got a sportsman, Federer, thank you so much. It's great. Jesus, yes. This is wonderful. We'll just close up that chat. Thank you so much for sharing this. And the reason I'm asking you to share your heroes is because the first thing I want to begin by talking about this evening is that in the world today, they talk about something called a hero's journey. When you look at film scripts, when you look at eminent political figures, when you look at people who change the world, and when you even look at people close to you who you consider heroes and heroines, you will see that all of them go through a particular journey in their life that establishes themselves as heroes and heroines. This is extremely interesting. This evening, I want you to just spend some moments looking at the hero's journey. In this world, a hero or a heroine, their journey begins by a call to adventure. Something in their life comes up which causes them to think beyond. Something disrupts them, as we were talking. Sometimes it's something voluntarily that they encounter. Sometimes it's something involuntary. It could be an experience, it could be a person, but something enters their life, which then gives a resounding call to adventure to the prospective hero or heroine. Now, this will happen in everyone's life. I want you to reflect on some of the people you saw on the chat, Martin Luther King or Mother Teresa or Bhaktivedanta Swami, and try to think, what was their call to adventure? What was the thing that began their journey to heroism? Then, what happens very interestingly is if they accept the call to adventure, then what will happen in the hero's journey is that people will come to help them. They'll get supernatural aid. There will be mentors, coaches, supporters who will come and guide them and encourage them and infuse them on that journey. Then what will happen on the hero's journey is there will be a threshold. Now, this is very interesting, because what happens at a certain point in the hero's journey is they make a transition from the known to the unknown. There comes a point in life when they start to venture into a life that they've never seen before, a life that they've never experienced before. And it becomes somewhat uneasy, uncomfortable, because they're entering into a road that they've never traveled before. But the heroes cross that threshold. And when they cross that threshold, very interestingly, this happens. Many, many challenges and temptations will come in their life. Usually, they say when the challenges and temptations come, they come in threes. And often you'll see this in life. When you go into the unknown and you journey on a discovery, then there will be challenges and temptations, things which are diverting you off the path. But what happens for the hero is this. The helpers and the mentors are constantly there and they're helping that person to continue on. But in the hero's journey, if they manage to get through this stage, then this very amazing thing happens. They get a success. They get a revelation. They experience something. They begin to discover a great boon, or they begin to reach a great milestone that they set for themselves. And what this does is it creates a transformation in them that means they're never going to be the same before. They look back at their life after this transformation, and to some extent, they have a sense of how they were living previously was substandard. And now they fully embrace their new life of discovery. And then, thankfully for all of us, they make a return and they come into the world and they offer something amazing to transform the world through the gift that they've been given. Dear friends on the call, I want you to deeply think about this hero's journey and think about someone you look up to as a hero. And what you will see is that basically they go through all of these things, or at least most of these things. This pattern keeps repeating itself again and again and again in the world. Whether it's a Hollywood movie, Silence of the Lambs, Lord of the Rings, Avatar, The Shawshank Redemption, or whether it's a political figure, Martin Luther King or Nelson Mandela, or whether it's a sports person, whether it's a religious figure or a philanthropist, Mother Teresa, Jesus, everyone goes through the hero's journey. Even spiritual figures go through the hero's journey. Today, we're going to be looking at Arjun and how Arjun goes through this hero's journey as well. But more important than that is that each one of the 500 plus people on this call have the opportunity to go on the hero's journey. Each person on this call has the opportunity to be a hero or a heroine. But the question is, are you ready to go on this journey? And are you ready to go through all these different stages? That is the question. Because Krishna says, some look on the soul as amazing, some describe him as amazing, and some hear of him as amazing, while others, even after hearing about him, cannot understand him at all. Krishna says, every soul is amazing. Every soul is invested with incredible capacity, ability, and potential. Every soul has the opportunity to discover something incredible. But in order for them to discover that, they have to be ready to go on the hero's journey and embrace everything in that journey. When I joined the monastery, someone asked me this question, and it made me think deeply about where I invest time and energy in my life. And they asked me, should we fill our life with things to show, Or should we fill our life with stories to tell? In other words, are we ready to go on an adventure in mystic, in which mystical, magical, moving, memorable things happen? That happens to someone who takes the hero's journey. I'm not much of a hero, but in my life, I did definitely, in some small ways, try to venture into the unknown. And I can share with you that what I showed you here is actually so true. And each one of you have also experienced elements of this. And so today, we'll look at Arjun as our hero and see how actually he went through all of these things. Arjun's story we find very much told in the Mahabharata. The Mahabharata, this is a scene from the Mahabharata, is perhaps the longest poem in the world. The Mahabharata is 100,000 verses long. It consists of 2 million words. It's 10 times longer than the Iliad and the Odyssey. It's said to be the most epic of histories, of ancient classics. It contains drama, it contains adventure, it contains comedy, intrigue, romance, thrill, every emotion, and also it contains deep spiritual wisdom. Because the Bhagavad Gita is actually considered to be the climax of this whole Mahabharata story. But in the picture, you see a scene from the Mahabharata which is considered a game changer. In this scene, on the left-hand side, you have the evil brothers who are known as the Kauravas. They're led by the blind king known as Dhritarashtra. He's not just physically blind, but he's spiritually blind. And therefore, they're ready to do all kinds of unspeakable things to gain their material desires and have their material desires fulfilled. And on the right-hand side, you have the Pandavas, the individuals of the greatest spiritual caliber. And they go head-to-head with the Kauravas. And this scene is ultimately the scene which triggers an inevitable war that then takes place, which is known as the Battle of Kurukshetra, on which the Bhagavad Gita was spoken, and we talked about that a little bit last week. I talked about this last week, but spiritual literatures are not just literal. These are events that took place, which actually happened in the history of time, but they're not just literal. These spiritual books like the Mahabharata are didactical. In other words, they contain so many moral and ethical and practical lessons of how to live life in the most powerful way possible. But not just that, these literatures are also metaphorical. In other words, they depict the journey that we're going on. They depict the human condition that we experience in our whole life. And therefore, when we talk about Arjuna, we're not just talking about a character who existed in the history of time. We're not just talking about Arjuna as someone who we can learn from in terms of the different events and experiences of his life, but we're thinking of Arjuna as also a metaphor of ourselves. And today, we're going to begin by looking a little bit at Arjuna's life journey. Arjuna is the one who heard the Bhagavad Gita, but before he heard the Bhagavad Gita, he went through so many things in his life. Arjuna was born in a royal family surrounded by opulence, wealth, and not just that, surrounded by saintly people, sages, surrounded by piety, religion, and the highest culture known to humankind. But Arjuna, even though he was invested with so many things, he was also very, very disciplined. He was known as a very, very talented archer, and he would practice religiously. It said that one day he was eating, and while he was eating, there was a lamp, a candle which was burning, and the candle was blown out by the wind. And as the candle was blown out by the wind, he found that he carried on eating And his hand was finding his mouth, even though there was no light. Arjun concluded, if I can eat without light, if I can eat in the darkness, it also means I can practice archery without light. It also means I can practice archery in the darkness. And so he began practicing assiduously in the middle of the night. That's how disciplined he was. And therefore, Arjun received the name Gudakesh, one who conquered sleep. Srila Prabhupada, the translator of the Bhagavad Gita, often said that anyone who wanted to achieve something amazing in this world, they never slept much. In other words, they never wasted time. They were constantly focused and determined in their endeavors. So like this, we learn an immediate lesson from Arjun that success doesn't just come from talent, but success comes from application, discipline, focus, persistence, perseverance, and incredible, dutiful endeavor. However, as Arjun went through his life, very, very quickly, he began to face obstacles. Sometimes you've all heard of earthquakes. Now, earthquakes, we can't predict when they're going to take place. We can't predict where they're going to take place. And we can't predict what scale the earthquake is going to occur at. When an earthquake occurs, it almost feels like years and years of things that we've built up have been destroyed in a moment, and we don't really see how we can move forward, what's the future ahead of us. But just like there are earthquakes in the world, what everyone will experience in their life are life quakes. I want you on the chat to just tell me, what do you think are some of the things that happen in life which shake us? Things that happen in life which almost seem like they just destroy years of things we've done in our life. Someone's messaged me saying COVID. Yes, illness. These are sometimes things which are shattering our life. The death of a loved one, Ramya says. Sickness. Jesse says fake pandemics. Yeah, propaganda sometimes. Distrust, dishonor. Prerna says losing a job. Yeah, that's highly displacing. Coco says terminal illness. Betrayal, that's such a big thing. Moving from one place to another. Thank you so much. You guys are all sharing really, really pertinent things. Mental health, thank you, S. for sharing that. Failing in your business. Thank you, Flo. Yeah, thank you for all your comments. Life quakes happen in life. It's just a part of it. Relationships. Arjun found that he was surrounded by people who were almost toxic. People who had an incredible amount of animosity and envy towards him. He had to deal with that. Practically from day one. Arjun found in his life that there was violence. There were forces of nature which were conspiring beyond his control. There were assassination attempts on the five brothers known as the Pandavas. Career and finances. Arjun found in his life that his career as a warrior was almost usurped by the evil brothers. He found himself ejected from his kingdom, his very means of livelihood, a life quake. Arjun faced death from a very young age. He lost his father. These are the life quakes that Arjun went through. Not just that, there was a questioning of identity, meaning there was dishonor constantly aimed at Arjuna and his brothers. Can you see now how Arjuna represents the person in the world who goes through life quakes? In modern research, they say most people in the world will go through between 2 and 5 life quakes in their life. Arjuna was an embodiment of success, talent. He was pious. He was righteous. He was sensitive to others. He lived his life by wisdom and knowledge. Yet Arjun was not immune. Arjun was not immune from facing life quakes in his life, because this is just a fact of life. So when we're looking at Arjuna, we're looking that yes, life quakes will occur in my life, and how will I be able to turn pains and problems into purpose and progress? If we look at Arjuna's life, he had learned the art of doing this. At one point, his brother Bhima was fed poison, but Bhima took that, and from the poison, he actually digested it in such a way that he came out of that occurrence becoming immune to that kind of poison. Later on, Arjuna and his brothers were sent to a holiday home which was set alight. His evil brothers, his evil cousins wanted to set them alight. And what happened from that? They ingeniously escaped, and from that escape, they continued moving forward. And eventually, they found their wife to be. Again, finding purpose and progress from a difficulty. Arjun was, and his brothers were sent into exile in the forest, a huge life change. But what did they do when they got to the forest? They used it to sharpen their martial skills, they used it to speak to the sages and gain great wisdom from visiting their hermitages. And they acquired celestial weapons from the divine gods. And therefore, that exile prepared them for greater success in the future. Can you see how, in every single situation, Arjuna represents the soul who inevitably will go through life quakes? All of you on this call, I'm sure some of you are definitely going through life quakes at the moment, but all of you, and I don't mean to say this as a curse, but it's just a fact of life. 2 to 5 life quakes will happen in our life. And the art of life is to know how to respond to that with progressiveness. I want to share with you a small book that we put together some years ago, a book of one of my good friends, Janakinath, who was a monk at the monastery, who, at the age of 31, was diagnosed with colon cancer. And he was told it's at stage 4. It was a life quake. Overnight, it almost like displaced him completely. But very, very quickly, he learned the art of how to pick himself, dust himself down, and be progressive in life and face that life quake with grace and resilience. He lived for another 5 years. And at the age of 36, he left the world. And just a few weeks before he left the world, I was speaking to him, and he shared something profound with me that I remember even to this day. He said, "When I was 31, I was diagnosed with cancer. It displaced my whole life and my plans." He said, "5 years on, I look back," and he looked me in the eyes and he said, "In the last 5 years, I've developed the deepest friendships and relationships. In the last 5 years, I feel like I've made my greatest contribution to the world." He said, "In the last 5 years, I've been able to have the deepest and most profound spiritual insights I've had in my whole life." He said, "In the last 5 years, I feel like I've just had so much fun." And here I thought is a person who has learned how to turn pain and problems into purpose and progression. You see, when we go through some challenge in life, it's said that there are three types of causes that cause us to become challenged in life. The first cause is known as the instrumental cause. This in Sanskrit is known as nimitta karana. The second cause in anything that happens in our life is said to be the remote cause. In Sanskrit, this is known as shukshma karana. But beyond these three causes, it's said that there is an ultimate cause behind everything that happens to us. This is known as the karana karana, the cause of all causes. And what the spiritualists learn to do is when they go through life quakes, instead of focusing on number one and two, they try to tune in to the deeper message, the deeper lesson, the deeper movements of divinity and providence that are moving their fortunes through spiritual books, through spiritual people, through spiritual discussion and introspection, and ultimately through spiritual vision. They're able to uncover deeper meanings behind the reason they're going through what they're going through. The people who focus on number one and number two ultimately become frustrated because life just doesn't make sense. But when we begin to look at things from a deeper level, a deeper causality, then we are empowered to move forward and find purpose and progression. And this is what Arjuna was able to do because he was endowed with spiritual vision. So this is the first thing I want to share with you, Arjuna's life journey, which teaches us that everyone will go through life quakes, but there is an art of how to deal with that. Despite all of this, Arjuna came to a moment of confusion in his life. Dear friends on the call, everyone will come at a point in their life when they have their Arjuna moment, when they have a confusion, when they have almost like a point where they begin to question meaning, purpose, the future, why they're here, where they're going, what was the purpose of everything they've done so far, and how they want to utilize their time going forward. Shall I tell you what happens when most people have an existential confusion? The world just teaches us to brush it under the carpet. The world teaches us to just ignore it. The world teaches us to just carry on in the treadmill of life and not pay too much attention to it because you've got things to do, you've got bills to pay, you've got people to meet, and you've got tasks to achieve. However, existential confusion, although uncomfortable, is actually the point in your life which opens up the gateway to discovery. However, in our existential confusion, if we don't have guidance, if we don't have wisdom, if we don't have help on the journey, then that existential confusion can lead to doubt and insecurity, which can ultimately transform into an existential crisis and can ultimately lead to depression, deflation, demotivation, and a disinspiration for life. However, in our existential confusion, which will come to each one of us, if we have the right guidance, then it will lead to clarity and purpose, and it will ultimately lead to existential awakening and ultimately unlock deep happiness, contentment, and satisfaction within the heart. Confusion can, on one hand, lead to crisis, but it can, on another hand, lead to awakening. The question is, do we have the right tools to turn confusion into awakening? For that, we need the right guidance. We need help. We need spiritual company, people who know you, people who love you, and people who can actually help you because they're endowed with spiritual wisdom. In Arjuna's case, in his confusion, he turned to Krishna, and Krishna began sharing with him many, many gems of wisdom which helped him turn his confusion into awakening. Existential breakdown is sometimes required in order to have a spiritual breakthrough. If we can learn to frame the pain and the problems that we go through in life in a different way, often when we go through pain, we think this is the end. Often when we go through pain, we think I did something wrong. When we go through pain, we think this is a failure. When we go through pain, we think there's no way out of this. And what happens is we look at pain as defeat. However, pain is often a gateway. Problems are often a portal. But that requires one to digest it in the right way. When we're going through pain, it's not that we're broken, it's that we're healing. When we go through a point in our life when we have confusion, it's not because we're lost, it's because we're seeking. When Arjun was going through his confusion, he thought he was stuck. He said, "The bow, Gandiva, is slipping from my hand. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know what my future is. It almost feels like you're stuck." But another way to look at it is he put his bow down and he began exploring. In other words, he wasn't stuck, but he was paving the progressive way forward. And sometimes when we go through an existential breakdown, we think I'm overthinking, but thinking is required. Einstein, he said, never stop thinking, never stop questioning. Curiosity has its own reason for existing. And so Arjun represents how we can take the confusion that ultimately will come in our life and find real answers, find real purpose. And when Arjun turns to Krishna, he begins asking Krishna different questions. It's said overall that in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjun asks Krishna a total of 17 questions. And his questions are profound because diagnosis is 90% of the cure. One of the biggest reasons why people don't progress in their life is because they ask questions, but they don't ask progressive questions. They don't ask the right questions. They don't ask questions which get to the root of the answer that they're looking for. Replacing why is this happening to me with what is this trying to tell me has been a game changer for me. Think about this deeply. When we look up at the skies, when we look up at providence, when we look deep in our hearts, when we journal and ask questions, what questions are we asking? The quality of questions will determine the quality of our life. Now, look at some of the questions that Arjun asks, because these are the questions which all of us will ask at some point in our life. Right at the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, Arjun looks at Krishna and says, "Now I'm confused about my duty. I've lost all composure because of miserly weakness. In this condition, I'm asking you to tell me what's best for me. Now I'm a disciple, a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me." The first lines of what Arjun says, where he says here, "Now I'm confused about my duty." You see this here? This is so profound. Arjun is basically asking the question to Krishna. He's asking him, "What is my purpose? Find your why. Find your reason for existing." Arjun stops in that moment and deeply asks the question, "What is my purpose?" And that opens up a whole opportunity for Krishna to explain how you can find your purpose. Just look at the pertinent questions which Arjun is asking. Later on, or in right in the beginning, Arjun also says, "O Govinda, O Krishna, what avail to us are a kingdom, happiness, or even life itself, when all of those for whom we may desire are now arrayed on this battlefield?" This is not a time or a place specific question. What Arjun is really asking here is, what is success? What is happiness? What will actually make me happy? Arjun is being very, very honest, and he's saying, what's the point? Even if I win a kingdom, even if I get all of these things, will it really make me happy? How many of us are brave enough to ask that question? That even if I achieve all of the goals that I've been setting myself up for my whole life, will it actually make me happy? Are we ready to do a U-turn and change? Arjun was. He was ready to leave it all behind. That kind of openness to actually finding what is real success will lead one to happiness. Here's another question Arjun asked Krishna. What are the symptoms of one whose consciousness is thus merged in transcendence? How do they speak? What is their language? How do they sit? And how do they walk? In other words, Arjuna is asking, what are the qualities of highly effective people? Most people want to know the activities of highly successful or effective people. That's the question they usually ask. What did they do? What did they do to become so successful? But the wise person asks, who were they? What principles did they live by? What were the cardinal values and moral compass that guided every movement, every action, every decision? If you learn that, then you learn how to move forward in your life. Just look at his pertinent questions. Arjuna asked Krishna, the mind is restless, turbulent, obstinate, and very strong, O Krishna. And to subdue it, I think, is more difficult than controlling the wind. Who's asking that question? How can I overcome negativity and limitation? How can I escape from the prison of my own mind? How can I overcome that mental chatter which seems to drown out my heart's desires and debilitates me and seems to constantly limit me and stop me from achieving my potential? Arjuna asked that question, and it allowed Krishna to open up all this wisdom about how to deal with your own mind. Here's another question Arjuna asks. By what, O Krishna, is one impelled to sinful acts, even unwillingly, as if engaged by force? What another amazing question. Basically, Arjuna is asking, how can I become a person that overcomes temptations, urges, and the impulse? If you want to know one mantra for life, don't give up what you want most for what feels good now. If you can imprint, instill, install, engrave that mantra in your heart, life transforms. And so Arjuna asked this incredibly pertinent question that most people are just debilitated in their life because they're constantly diverted by temptation. Now, do you begin to see the inner Arjuna? You begin to see some of these questions in the Bhagavad Gita and you're thinking, nice question. But when you look back and reflect on it, you realize these are the things that run deep within all of our hearts. These questions are constantly resonating. What's my purpose? What is real happiness? How can I overcome my negativity? How can I remain and resist temptation? What are the qualities that I have to live by in order to achieve what I want to achieve? And by Arjuna's questions, Krishna gets the opportunity to share incredible wisdom. And when Krishna does share that wisdom, then Arjuna has his transformation. In the beginning, Arjuna says, Asochyan anvasochastvam. He's full of lamentation, and Krishna looks at him and says, you're lamenting. There's no reason to lament. And the final verses of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Moksha yishami masucha. You'll be freed. Don't worry, Arjuna. Just continue on with the wisdom I've given you, and you'll be free from lamentation. The great teachers, they say the Bhagavad Gita begins with lamentation and it ends with lamentation. And the whole message of the Bhagavad Gita is how to overcome lamentation, how to overcome disempowering thoughts, how to become the best version of yourself, and how to actually experience this transformation of consciousness that Arjuna goes through. And so today, I'm just going to go back to this slide because I want you to just think about this for a second. In the beginning of today's session, I shared this with you, the hero's journey. Arjuna's life is basically a hero's journey. He was called to adventure. At the beginning of the Battle of Kurukshetra, as he arrived there with his brothers, it was a call to adventure, to now fight and experience a different life by going through this trial of arms. There was supernatural aid. Krishna came to his aid, and Krishna came there as his companion. And then there was a threshold. The conches were blowing, and he was about to enter into the unknown. He went to the middle of the battlefield. He entered into that unknown. And what happened? There was challenges. There was crisis. There was doubt. There was a temptation to eject himself. But what happened is through help, through mentorship, he was able to continue on. And then what happened? In that conversation with Krishna, he had a revelation. He realized, Nasta moha smrite labdhva, all my illusion has gone. I've gained clarity. I know what I'm meant to do now. He picked up his bow, the Gandiva. He had underwent his transformation. And then he lamented that he had hesitated in the beginning. And what did he then do? He returned back into the world, back into the battlefield, and he started fighting. And he went on that hero's journey. Now, the amazing thing is, everyone on this call has the ability to be a hero. Now, you may say, I don't think I'm going to do something amazing, earth-shattering, groundbreaking. That's not the definition of a hero. Every soul is amazing. Every soul has the ability to undergo a magical, mystical, memorable life in which so many stories of adventure will naturally transpire. And some will do it in a big way that the whole world will see, and someone will do it in a more humble way that maybe only a few people will see, or maybe no one will see. It doesn't matter. When you go on the hero's journey, the most important thing is that you inside of yourself feel fulfilled because you knew that I fulfilled the potential of this life. And today, when we're talking about the inner Arjuna, what we're basically talking about is the opportunity for all of us on this call to go on the hero's journey. And as we go on this hero's journey, we will need supernatural aid. We will need guidance. We will need a helping hand. And that's why the Bhagavad Gita is there. That's why we've created Think Gita. That's why we've created these courses. And that's why week after week, day after day, we're trying to share this content with each other and discuss it amongst ourselves, because this is the supernatural aid which can help you to go on the hero's journey, which can help you to fulfill the purpose, the potential, and the purport of why we're here in the first place. And therefore, today, these were some thoughts that I wanted to share with you on the inner Arjuna and how all of us can go on the hero's journey and experience that beautiful transformation that Arjuna went through. And thank you so much for your time and concentration in the evening here. I really, really appreciate it. And we'll just spend some time maybe reflecting, and then invite some of you to come forward and maybe share some of your thoughts or questions. Yeah, over to you, Raj.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm just blown away. That was really inspiring. And, hearing about so many good sutras, so many good quotes. Don't give up what you want most with what feels good now. Loads of people asking, can you please repeat the quotes? And yeah, it's been amazing. We've got some great questions in. So I think I'm gonna dive into the questions if that's okay with you. Some of you are on the call, and I might pick you out to actually ask the question if that's okay. So maybe you can also raise your hand, and I might pick out some people to unmute and ask that question. Let's start with this one, though. This is a very nice one, and it's from Harpreet S. Harpreet S, are you on video? Okay, I can't see you there. Okay, so Harpreet has asked, so when we're going through life and we have our quakes, what, and you're saying, like, we should I guess seek guidance, or but when we're going through that time, what type of questions should we ask, like, when we're going through that difficult period? is
Yeah,
what Harpreet
if you noticed, there was one slide. It's a really good question, Harpreet. Thank you so much. Harpreet, was it? Harpreet, yeah. Thank you so much. Beautiful question. There was a slide I had, and it said, instead of asking the question, why is this happening to me? We should ask the question, what can I learn from this? Now, that's a very simple point, but it begins to shift our mindset from being a victim to being a learner. It shifts our mindset from the past to the future. It shifts our mindset from, someone that's imprisoned within a particular life right now to someone who holds the key to freedom. In other words, we have to ask questions which help us to move forward. We have to ask questions which will help us to find our next step on the journey. We have to ask questions which will help to empower us with wisdom so that we can learn from what's happened and use that to edify our future decisions and direction in life. Sometimes we don't know the right questions to ask, and therefore, having spiritual people around you, having this kind of community. You see, basically, what's happening is that today I talked about the hero's journey. And if all of us on this call want to go on the hero's journey, we're all going to need help, mentors, guides, spiritual aids, spiritual friends. And that's what this community is about. So, Harpreet, if you, when you're going through life quakes, surround yourself with spiritual people and have open-hearted discussions with them. With their help, study ancient spiritual books which uncover the inner Arjun. You'll begin to see lessons in Arjun and then draw the parallels for your own life. And then later on, as you become more and more spiritually connected through your own spiritual accomplishment within, the intuition, the inspiration from within will also come and guide you on your journey. And so this is what we're doing here. We're trying to equip you so that in those life quakes, because you don't learn this at school. It's amazing. At school, we learn every single subject under the sun, from DIY to, to like, PE to like geography to geology to like graphic design. But we don't learn how to deal with life quakes. That's why we're here.
Harpreet's on the camera, so does that answer your
Oh,
question?
Harpreet, yes, thank you so much. And you can unmute if I didn't. Would you like to add it? No, okay, Zappy.
Oh, thank you. I couldn't unmute before, but that was incredibly helpful.
Okay, thank you
Very
so
great
much for the
question.
question.
Thank you. So the next question we have from Kajal Madhwani. Are you on the call, Kajal? I think she was just getting ready. You can unmute and ask your question. Okay, maybe she's not ready just yet. Okay, we have Exumen as well, so she's on the call. You can unmute and ask.
Hello. Hi, everybody. Hello, Maharaj. Yes, I have a question, which is what you were speaking about makes a lot of sense. How do we implement that in our lives in a practical way? Do you have any recommendations?
Yeah, just so everyone knows the face. This is Coco. She's our moderator on ThinkGeeka. So if
Hi.
you see her posting all these things, you know that she's the mastermind behind it all. Thank you so much.
No
Thank you
worries.
for your question. How do we implement it all? Well, I hope what I'm speaking is not theoretical. I hope what I'm sharing with you is like things that you can think like tomorrow there will be a call to adventure in your life. Have you? Let me ask you a question. I'll put you on the spot because you unmuted yourself, so we can put you on
Okay.
the spot. Have you ever had a call to adventure in your life that
Yeah.
kind of has pushed you to like venture into the unknown?
Yeah.
Yeah, you've experienced that. You don't have to share it on the call. There are 600 people here. You may not want to, but and have you, did you notice that when you embrace that call to adventure, then somehow there was help on that journey. People came, or wisdom came, or you are somehow assisted to kind of go on that journey. That you experienced that. And then when you went on that journey, there was a moment when you had to pass the threshold, you know, and enter into the unknown. So these are all practical things that you go through and that you experience. And so the practical implementation is just to actually hear these things when they happen and have the bravery to go on that journey. And if you do, it's the discovery is amazing. So, yeah. I don't know if there was something more specific you wanted me to answer, like on that. Or...
Yeah, it's more when the obstacles come, there are certain, like our patterns of response that we had before, but there can be a more progressive way of responding to that situation. But if we're kind of bewildered at that moment, like it's very hard to diagnose, like what is actually why there was one particular question, like why am I this way? Or was it like, it's just sometimes I don't know what is my problem.
You don't know what your blocks are. And again, I would say the same thing, that having good spiritual company, people who know you, people who can connect with you, people who have spiritual wisdom, I can't overemphasize that enough. It's just so important, because spirituality never occurs in a vacuum. You've heard me say this, that the Bhagavad Gita is not just a book, it's a living theology. It's understood in a living situation. So that's kind of what I'd share on that.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Coco. The next question we have is from Kajal. So Kajal, you can unmute and ask.
Hare Krishna. My question was regarding life quakes and overcoming temptations. So I'm currently going through a difficult situation. And when you were talking earlier, Prabhuji, I could feel myself asking the same questions. I have been thinking about those questions, what my purpose should be, and how do I overcome temptation? But I feel of late like finding my purpose and overcoming my temptations has become a vicious cycle. Because I don't have a fixed purpose in my mind, I'm not able to overcome my distractions. And I feel like I don't have clarity. I waste a lot of my time in distractions, while inside I know I should be doing something more important. But I mean, I don't have the answer to what that purpose is. So I'm not able to overcome those temptations. So I think I'm trying to ask, how do I get out of this vicious cycle?
Yeah. Thank you so much, Kajal. It's such a good question. I think actually in your question is already the answer, actually. You see, in life, we were talking last week, there's a why. And then there's the how and the what, the practical activities. But oftentimes what happens is, because we haven't clarified and solidified and cemented the why, because we haven't actually clearly identified what is my purpose, what is my dharma, what is the contribution I'm trying to make, what is the grand future that I'm trying to create, then the how and the what are sometimes vague. Another problem is sometimes that even when we have a why, if that why hasn't captured our imagination, if it's not exciting us, then we procrastinate over the how and the what, because there's not enough enthusiasm to do it. When the why is weak, then we find that temptations easily overcome us. And therefore, finding that why really is the foundation. However, finding your why, finding your dharma is not something that happens overnight. Often for most people, it's not just like an aha moment or like a light comes through the window and you just know it. It unfolds over time. But even on that journey of finding your why, there's a certain focus which comes, which protects you from procrastination and distraction. So what I would basically say, Kajol, is continue investing, number one, in finding your why. Continually ask yourself those questions. Never put that on the back burner. Finding your why means you constantly have to become more and more aware of yourself. You have to be willing to try new things and come out of the comfort zone. Finding your why, finding your dharma means you have to, as I've already mentioned multiple times, take help from others who know you. So you have to really create a life in which finding your why is something you're investing in every single day. And the more you do that, the more not only will your why and your dharma become solidified, but you will also find that in that journey, you become more and more protected from procrastination, temptation, and distraction. So it's an ongoing journey and it takes time. But putting an emphasis is the very first question that Arjun asks in the Bhagavad Gita. What is my dharma? Not only is it the very first question Arjun asks in the Bhagavad Gita, but it's the very first word of the Bhagavad Gita, because the first verse begins, Dharma Kshetre Kurukshetre. Not only is it the first word of the Bhagavad Gita, but it's the final instruction Krishna gives when he talks about giving up your lower dharmas and embracing the higher dharma. So dharma is the theme, purpose. We have to have direction. And when that direction is clear, therefore, Simon Sinek wrote the book, Start With Why.
Thank you. That was really helpful. And I think it gave me the reassurance that it's a long process.
Yeah.
Maybe there were times when I got impatient, but just a follow-up question, please, if that's okay. You said that I should invest in finding that why. So I feel like I've been immobile for the last 2 months. I mean, completely stuck. And so what's the first step then? Even though I think mentally I'm aware that these things, I need to figure these things out. But when you said I should invest in it, like, how do I distill it into easy, doable steps? Like, what would be the first thing that I can do?
Yeah. So, for example, I was talking about awareness, that you have to become more aware about who you are, your strengths, your weaknesses, your qualities. So for that, you can do personality tests. You can try to analyze, reflect on the past, where you've always got energy, where you've been at your best, where you've been happy and successful in the past. Become more and more aware about who you are and what you can do. The second thing is, as I mentioned, just try different things. Yeah, maybe you're not able to be out and about, but in today's day and age, even from where you are, you can begin learning. Learn new things, do courses, try to attempt different types of activities and see how your personality engages with that. Talk to other people who have pursued different types of purposes and see what makes them tick, what kind of life experiences they have. So constantly invest time, energy, attention in trying to solidify where is it I'm trying to go in my life. Yeah, there are always things you can do.
Yeah, thank you so much. That was really helpful. I'm really glad I could come to the session and that I found Thinkita. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Kajal. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Kajal. And yeah, there's so many great questions coming in on the chat. I'll take one from the chat, actually. There's two, and I'm going to kind of combine them together. So one is from Vaish, and one is from S. So S has asked, do we only have one dharma in our life, or can we have multiple dharmas? And Vaish has asked, in continuation to that, how do we find our purpose in material life? For different reasons, sometimes we might not stick to one thing, we might change. So Vaisha said she used to do dance and yoga practice, but then she quit her job, did it full time, and then she didn't stick to that. So is there multiple dharmas that we have, or how does that work?
Definitely. there are multiple dharmas, you know, like Arjun, he had a Kula dharma, which means a duty to his family. He had a Kshatriya dharma, a duty as a warrior. He had a Pati dharma, a duty as a husband. And it's also said that Arjun had a Sanatan dharma, which means a spiritual purpose. So we have multiple dharmas and we're balancing all of them. And what Krishna is helping us to do is when we clarify all of these different dharmas that we have, what Arjun is being trained in doing is to create a life of integration in which one dharma integrates with another dharma and supports and nourishes it so that in one activity we're achieving many, many things. So yes, there are multiple dharmas. Secondly, dharma may change over time. We at different points in our life may be asked and called to do different things. The call to adventure may require us to embrace a different dharma over a specific amount of time. So yes, that may happen. Dharmas may also change. And not just that, dharma is also not existing in a vacuum. Dharma also is connected to the environment. So when the environment changes, when situations change, then we also may have to change our dharma. So there are some things about us which never change. There are some aspects of our personality and psyche that remain with us. But how we then utilize those things and live in the world and engage in dharma may always be fluid. So yeah, it's a complex thing. And this is why so much of the Bhagavad Gita is about understanding dharma.
Thank you. The next question we have is from Adam. Adam, are you on the call? Would you like to unmute if you're there?
Hello?
Yes, Adam, we can hear you.
Ergo. Thank you for a wonderful session. I was just wondering, how can we let go of previous setbacks? Say if we've persevered and we've gone through setbacks, obstacles that have come our way, that have been on the path, but how can we kind of let go of them? Say, for instance, if you've gone through them and then they're still kind of still on your mind.
And they're stopping you from going forward, right?
Yeah. I guess it's in always pushing forward, but then in another way, then they creep in and then they kind of attack. Really, that's the only way that I can
describe. Thank you. Such a good question. Yeah, so often we go through so many things in life, and they kind of may create a certain impression in ourselves that inhibit our journey forward. Like one of the powerful things I find, Adam, is that whenever we look back in our life and we feel like maybe there's an obstacle or a mistake or a challenge, and sometimes we did well, sometimes we didn't. The main thing is that if we're able to draw a lesson from it and feel like we've come out of that wiser, we've come out of that with an understanding of a better way to function, then that previous setback, it kind of becomes a little lighter, because you feel like from that, you've grown, you've evolved, and you've moved on, and you've digested it. And therefore, you feel like more confident to go on the journey forward. But I feel like when there are setbacks, when there are things in our life that were difficult, but we didn't really evolve or grow or learn or improve from them, then it almost feels like undigested food in the stomach, which is just sitting there and not really allowing you to eat anything more, because you just feel like a little, like just not very well. You don't feel good. So I think like one of the most important things in life is we have to learn how to digest life. And without digesting life, I don't think we open up room to experience more of life. And so I think so much of it is having a spiritual kind of toolbox which helps you to digest life. So, something to Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for asking that lovely question, Adam, and for the wonderful answer as well, Keshav Swami. So are we guided by you, Keshav Swami? Obviously, I know it's quite late.
Yeah, there's so many questions. I can see so many hands here. And I think what we're going to do next week is we're just going to really maybe dedicate some time for questions and answers, and then really just kind of go all out and really give everyone an opportunity. So apologies to some of you who couldn't ask your questions today, but we will be looking at how to facilitate that. As we said, like, these sessions are a little difficult because we got like big numbers on the call, so it's a little difficult to be interactive, but we're going to be breaking things down in the coming weeks and giving an opportunity for more interaction. So yeah, just really happy to be with all of you. I hope all of you feel inspired to go on the hero's journey and become heroes and heroines in your own way. And just remember those elements that, yeah, there will be challenges, there'll be temptations, there'll be a threshold, there'll be a point of no return, but there'll also be great discovery. There'll be people on the journey to help. There'll be boons that you pick up, and there'll be a transformation that you undergo. And then ultimately that will allow you to come back into the world and really make a beautiful contribution to the world and the people around you. And that's really the story of Arjuna's life. And the Bhagavad Gita is the book which can help us navigate all of these things. So thank you so much.